Hello, welcome to North Valley Church's Sermon Podcast. We are in a series titled Finding Messiah. If you are interested in North Valley Church or our Sermon Podcast, you can find us on our website, nvcmd.org.
Good morning. My name is Dan. I'm a pastor here at North Valley Church. There was some uncertainty earlier in the service, but I'm pretty sure we have programs. Yeah? Woohoo! So if you don't have one, I'm just going to sip water and everyone close your eyes. And if somebody gets up and gets a program, no one will know. So just la 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 la. So I have found this awkward place. It really weirds me out about where we are in the big world of COVID. That COVID had happened some years ago. But when you start describing things in your life and talking about people, you start using the phrase, before COVID, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and since COVID, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it just weirds me out, right? So things before COVID, I'd never heard of a Zoom medical appointment, right? But you could do doctor appointments now over the internet. You don't have to go to the doctor's office. Your blood pressure, your temperature, your pulse rate, those things just don't matter anymore, right? Because they don't want your nasty disease sickness in their office. So we do tele-doctor appointments. That's so weird, right? There was a time, I remember, when you saw deliveries happening with UPS and FedEx trucks. Now we have blue Amazon trucks. Something happened over the past few years. Now I've got three, UPS and FedEx, and oh my gosh, Amazon trucks. They are seriously taking up space, right? There used to be this, it weirds me out. When you used to go to a restaurant, they would hand you a menu, right? Now in some restaurants, they tell you, oh, you need to look at a menu, scan the QR code with your phone. I'm like, what? Right? What do you guys do with technology handicapped people who are like, QR code scanning, what the heck is that? Seriously, I've been on a learning curve for the past 2 years because if I want to eat in the restaurant, I got to figure out, I don't even know how to do that on my phone. I have to learn, right? Phones are a necessary evil. One day when I don't need one, I'm going to get rid of it. So many things are different about how we live now versus pre-COVID. And I want you just to take that in as an object lesson. That, oh yeah, when I was saying that earlier, y'all were nodding your heads. Yeah, I've experienced and I recognize, it's funny, when we have this conversation 20 years from now, be a bunch of young folk in the room, I don't have any idea what you're talking about. What's COVID? Blah! I'll be dead by then, so it don't matter. What?
You'll be dead, you'll be old then.
Thanks for having my back, Amanda. Okay, focus. Where was I at? Oh, so anyway, and they won't recognize it. We won't recognize, oh, there was this thing before COVID and after COVID. Do y'all see that? We're laughing about it, but we're coming around to that time where if you think about how that looks and feels now apply it to the more spiritual thing. What is it? How does that apply when I'm thinking about death, resurrection, and I'm going to add in Pentecost today of Christianity? We are nearly 2,000 years removed from that event. The time that we live in and we chit-chat about, we kind of take for granted the universe as it was post-death, resurrection, Pentecost. of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So I want us to push back a little bit. I want us to try and time warp, or I'm going to date myself. Okay, one person got it. That, well, besides Ben James, anybody else get what I just did? Two, three, wow. All right, y'all need to watch some old YouTube videos of Wayne and Garth. If you're not sure what to search for, Ben James will help you out. What was it like before Jesus went to the cross? What was their mindset? What were they thinking? I want us to try and transition to that. We're going to be looking at a conversation that Jesus is going to have with a guy named Nicodemus. And in my past, when I've read this conversation, it's like I was wanting to go up and slap Nicodemus. Come on, dude, don't you get it? But when I do the time warp, he doesn't get it. For good reason. Because there's things that have happened after this conversation that he doesn't grasp what it is that Jesus is going to be trying to describe. So we're continuing in our sermon series, Finding Messiah. We are on a journey to go through the entire Gospel of John. However, we are in the first section of it. And in this part of Jesus' ministry, he's essentially advertising to people, hey, everybody. All right, as good as I can do. Hey, everybody, I'm the Messiah. And he's just, there are more things he needs to share, but that's really where he's getting started. And I have pointed out that in Dan's mind, when you're reading something like this about the gospel, which is a narrative of Jesus' life, when you're looking at those things, there needs to be a realization, great googly moogly, Jesus didn't come here just to be on a tour. It wasn't a vacation. He wasn't visiting places. He didn't wake up and go, all right, this is chapter 3. This is what I'm supposed to do today. He came because he was on a mission. He was on a mission to implement the plan of salvation. He was on a mission to plant his church. Today, he is going to really open up the idea of what salvation is. This guy Nicodemus is going to show up and ask some questions. As he does that, we are going to see unfolded in John chapter 3, right? We're all the way up to Jesus's the narrative as John the Apostle describes Jesus' life. We are all the way up to chapter 3 before Jesus actually starts talking about the real reason he's there. He's here to implement the plan of salvation. So another day, we'll talk about what planting the church looks like. But today we're going to talk about what salvation is, because he's going to try and explain that to this guy, Nicodemus. And I want us to wrap our brains around what does that look like, because Nicodemus is on the other side of the death, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the coming of the Holy Spirit. As we wrestle with getting our mind around where Nicodemus is, I want us to be aware that this isn't just a time thing. There are people who we interact in our, when we go shopping, when we go to work, who are in the same place as Nicodemus, that they don't know who Jesus is. They have no idea what I mean when I say Pentecost. Who's the Holy Spirit? Y'all believe in freaky stuff. Sorry if you think that about me. I'm okay. As we're trying to share our faith with other people, I want us to keep in mind, they're coming at it from probably a less educated point of view than Nicodemus is. For all the things we watch Nicodemus not understand, remember, when you're trying to share your faith with somebody outside of your church, they're probably responding the same way. Let's step into and meet Nicodemus. Verse 1. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform these signs you are doing if God were not with him. There is just so much in these verses, in this passage. I love this passage of Scripture. So we're just going to unpack a handful of things. Let's meet Nicodemus. Right, Nicodemus is a Pharisee. What's a Pharisee? In Jesus' time, we're going to call them political sects. They were based around religious theology, but there were basically two bigger groups, Pharisees and Sadducees. Think of it like Democrats, Republicans, right? They were both involved in religion, the Jewish religion. They were both involved in leading it and helping people guide through it. People would take sides, but that's what is being communicated. Now we know something about Nicodemus. He's a Pharisee. They tend to be on the conservative side as far as following what it is that God's word says. He was a member of the Jewish ruling council. And I'm going to jump down a little bit more. When he's talking, he says, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher. So he's there, but he's not just by himself. He's representing other people. He says, we. He's a member of the Jewish council. And he's showing up letting Jesus know, me and some other dudes on the council see something in you. Nicodemus is a leader. Nicodemus is a leader and an influencer. There are people who are paying attention to what Nicodemus said, and they sent him to go find out what's going on with Jesus. I want us to keep in mind that this is an opportunity. Jesus knows what's going on. Jesus knows who this guy is. And if Jesus is thinking to himself, I am ready to start sharing the truth about why I'm really here. This guy is in the right place for me to do that. Because he, out of everyone else I've been talking to, is the guy most likely to get it. He should get it. He's not going to write up front. But he is the guy in the best position to do it. And he's the guy in the best position to share it with other leaders when he goes back. You see, it's important of who Nicodemus is and why Jesus has this conversation with him. I've often scoffed at the part about where he went to Jesus at night. And I used to look at that as he was scared to do it in public. He's sneaking around because he just genuinely was afraid of other folks. But there's something to be said. Jesus was a busy dude. He was doing stuff through the day. And Nicodemus may have just wanted some one-on-one time. Hey, I want to ask you some deep questions, and I want to have an interaction with you. And he was a leader. He was an important dude. And he thought that was appropriate. And so he may have went to visit Jesus at night simply because it would have been an opportunity to get some one-on-one time with this guy, Jesus. And I want you to see how Nicodemus recognizes who Jesus is. We know that God's with you because you've been performing signs. I say this a million times, and I think I keep repeating myself because I just think it's an important thing. We get off track about miracles and our expectations and why God doesn't do this or do that. Jesus performed signs and miracles to authenticate his ministry. And it worked. Nicodemus is here because we know God's with you because you've been doing cool stuff. So just one more time to have to listen to me say that. Jesus replied, very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. So let's just hang out in Jesus' words for a moment. So when we're in Christian mixed circles and with different people, the word born again comes up. Because us, we are in a group of folks I would consider conservative evangelicals. And so we are all about the idea of being born again, that there needs to be this transformation that happens inside of us to be able to enter into the kingdom of God. In Jesus' words, to even see what's going on, this born again thing needs to happen. So we're all sitting here and we are taking that for granted. But again, people outside here, people who are consider themselves Christians, they don't get what born again means. People who aren't part of the Christian faith, they have no idea what we're talking about. And so it's just a thought for us to be mindful of our words that we're using. But Jesus makes a point. So if you decide to use the word born again and someone questions you about that, you can point here. I didn't make this up. Jesus said it. And if you aren't born again, there's an issue. And if you want to know more about it, Jesus says it's a really important thing to find out about. Nicodemus, bless his heart. He responds, "How can someone be born again when they are old?" Nicodemus asks, "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Nicodemus, Jesus is about to have a bigger conversation. Nicodemus, where's he starting? Right? He is starting with the earth. He's starting with, this is what I see, this is what I've been reading, this is what I've been experiencing. So there are times, again, and I used to read this, and I go, Nicodemus, you big dummy. And Jesus is going to challenge him a little bit too. But he is going with what he knows at the moment, because he is on the other side of Jesus' death, resurrection, and the coming of the Holy Spirit. When we're talking to people outside the church, they are in that same place. We can have these conversations, but we need to be aware we're going to spew out words that they may or may not get. Jesus responds to Nicodemus. "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You must not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again." So Jesus is letting them know, dude, you're going to have to open up your mind a little bit. And if you're reading the text, if you're not familiar, if you look at the word spirit, sometimes the word spirit is a big S, sometimes it's a little S. The little S is just talking about our spirit. When you see the big S, that means that Jesus is talking about the Holy Spirit. So big S, we're talking about the Spirit of God. Little S, we're talking about our spirit. I'm sure everything's okay. It's all good. I didn't hear any screaming. Okay. Yeah. Jesus is pointing out, dudes, there is something spiritual about why I'm here. I get that you're focused and you are know your earthly things, but Jesus is going to start talking about spiritual things, our spirit and the Holy Spirit. Early up there in the middle part of that verse, Jesus says that they must be born of water and the Spirit. So I want to talk about water and spirit for a moment. When we step back and read the breadth of the Bible, all of what it is that God's Word says about faith and salvation and baptism, getting in the water is an act of faithful obedience. That if we decide we are going to accept Jesus in our life, we are going to be obedient, so in our obedience, we get in the water. The New Testament is uber clear on that. But Jesus takes a moment to say, born of water and spirit here. And when I look at this, I go, you know what? Jesus is talking about being reborn by the Holy Spirit, which hasn't happened yet, right? After Jesus dies on the cross and is resurrected, 50 days later, the Holy Spirit will come down. And then people will start being born again with the Holy Spirit. But it hasn't happened yet. So he gives Nicodemus a place to put his foot. He says to be able to be born of water. He is referencing the baptisms that John the Baptist and some of his disciples have been doing. He's given Nicodemus a foothold. Hey, all these professions of faith that people are making and being baptized, they are moving and putting themselves in a place to be able to receive this rebirth of the Holy Spirit, rebirth by the Holy Spirit. So the idea that Jesus ties those together is simply to give, in my opinion, simply give Nicodemus a place to land, because he has no idea what Jesus is talking about regarding the rebirth of the Spirit. But he can see that people are being impacted by the ministry and baptisms that John the Baptist has been doing and Jesus' disciples were doing as well. So I'm going to take a moment and talk about, I've used the word Pentecost a couple of times. I want to talk about, when you go on Google and search for Pentecost, there's this description about what happened in Acts chapter 2. The Holy Spirit come in and tongues of fire and all kinds of cool stuff, which is a complete ripoff because that's not really what Pentecost was. Pentecost was a harvest festival that was started by Moses way back in the days of Exodus. Right, so there was this festival that was set up in the Old Testament that happened 50 days after what we now call Easter Sunday. They would have called it the first day of the week after Passover. 50 days after that, there would have been this celebration, this harvest festival. 50 days, Pentecost. That's what they called it. The disciples, when Acts chapter 2 happened, if you haven't read that before, go read. It's really, really crazy cool stuff goes on. All the disciples were gathered as part of, they were celebrating Pentecost and praying. The Holy Spirit just happened to use that day, not just happened, right? God's been planning this since Moses' day. Oh, y'all together now doing Pentecost. Now I'm going to send my Spirit, and now we're going to do this part of what the church is. So, there are lots of rabbit trails in this passage where Jesus is connecting, helping Nicodemus to drill roots down in the past. Okay? So I'm just showing you that so that as you go forward, you realize, oh, this didn't happen in a vacuum. Jesus isn't making this up. This has been planned for centuries, planned for eternity. Jesus now realizes Nicodemus isn't going to get this conversation about the Holy Spirit, so he gives a little object lesson. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Jesus is starting to give Nicodemus a little nudge, right? Okay, you are bound up in this idea of what the physical world is, but there is something else that's going on around you. There is a spiritual world. The Holy Spirit is moving in amongst us, but you can't see him. You can't put him in a box. You can't grab him and feel him. You can't grab him and touch him, but you can feel it. I want you to catch that. You can feel the wind. You can see the wind moving, but you can't see the wind. Jesus is saying, dudes, that's a little object lesson picture of who the Holy Spirit is and his work in us, that it's invisible. So again, we might be all taking that, well, yeah, I get that. I'm just emphasizing, Nicodemus didn't get that. And the people we talk to outside of our walls, they don't get it either. So we need to just, not that you don't want to use the language, but you need to be mindful that the language we use with people in describing being born again, the Holy Spirit moving, people aren't going to understand it when we do that. My favorite example of saying, of things Christians say that people don't understand, right? I love it in more traditional churches. I don't think we sing songs like this, but in more traditional churches, right? What's a song you might hear around Halloween time, right? You might be around Halloween and you might go to church and be singing, covered in the blood of Jesus, covered in the blood of Jesus. I always thought that was a really creepy thing to say around Halloween. If you don't know what we're talking about, that sounds completely weird. You see where I'm at? We take for granted the language we use sometimes and what that language means. Don't do that when you're sharing your faith with people outside the walls of the church. Nicodemus hears this little object lesson about the Holy Spirit being like the wind. How can this be? He asked. Bless his heart. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do And do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. So just to emphasize where I started, Nicodemus ain't a dummy. He's an educated guy. He's a leader. He's an influencer. He's a member of the council, and he doesn't get it. This is not trivial stuff. It just isn't. This is kind of a big deal, especially after you do it. Again, when we're 20 years separated from COVID, we're all just going to take all this stuff that this is how the universe is. 2,000 years separated from what Jesus did, we just take for granted that this is the way it is. We take that for granted, but the rest of the world doesn't. Be mindful of what we're saying and how we say it to people. Moving on to verse 12. Jesus is about to up the ante. He's about to go to the next step with Nicodemus. Okay, we talked about born again. Hey, there's spiritual things, dude. Get ready. You need to start understanding that. And he's going to up the ante a little bit. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. So, we might try and read this in context of what we've been reading, but when I read this, Jesus is setting them up for the next object lesson. Jesus is about to introduce the next lesson to help Nicodemus understand what salvation is. There's an aspect of being born again. There is a heavenly side to what it is Jesus is doing. In verse 14, Jesus continues and says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man may be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. Okay, so if you're not an Old Testament aficionado, Nicodemus would have been. And when Jesus said, just like Moses lifted up the snake, Nicodemus would have got that. He knew that Jesus was referencing something happened in the book of Numbers. That in Numbers 21, the Israelites were grumbling against God. We're not happy. We're done. Tired of walking. We don't like the food. This all stinks. I want better stuff. They're all cranky and arguing against God. So God says, well, why are you being cranky? This is cool. So I'm going to send you a little attention getter. So he sends him some poisonous snakes. And the poisonous snakes start biting people, and people start dying because of the poisonous snakes. The people go to Moses and go, oh, Moses, we messed up. We yelled at God, and now he sent snakes. What do we do? So Moses, you know, whatever. So Moses goes to God, okay, they're repenting. What are we going to do? God says, tell you what, why don't you make a bronze snake? Make one out of bronze, put it on a pole, and stick the pole up in the camp. And if somebody is bitten by a snake, they can go and look at the bronze snake and they will be healed. You catch that? If I'm bitten and I've got poison, all I need to do is believe that looking at this snake will heal me and I will be healed. And Jesus says, so that's the object lesson that Jesus is pointing to for Nicodemus. And Jesus is saying, and the Son of Man is going to do the same thing. But instead of being bitten by poisonous snakes, we're going to be bitten by the consequences of our sin. That our sin causes a spiritual death for us. And when we see Jesus lifted up and put our faith in that, we receive the same healing that the people with the poisonous snakes did when they looked at the bronze snake. See Jesus making that comparison? So, in the context of comparing salvation to this event in Moses, Jesus now shares this often repeated verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. God sent his Son, right? Think of Nicodemus hearing this for the first time, getting the idea that there's something more than what's going on earth. That this guy I'm talking to is referring to himself as the Son of God. And Nicodemus is there because he recognizes God's with him. That was Nicodemus' words, because God's with you. But Jesus is now up in the ante. He's now saying, I'm actually God's Son. He's not just with me, I'm his Son. I'm his only Son. And that if you believe in me, you'll receive the earth's eternal life. And a Pharisee would have believed that. One of the differences between Pharisees and Sadducees, Sadducees did not believe in eternal life. They didn't believe in life after death. Pharisees did. So he, again, Nicodemus was the right guy to have this conversation with. And on this side, Jesus is pointing forward to what's going to happen for Nicodemus to remember. But from where we are, almost 2,000 years separated from it, we can see what Jesus is talking about. That Jesus came and lived a life on this earth and died sinless, as a sinless man on a cross. And his death on the cross did something for us that we can't do for ourselves. Paid the price for our sins. And when we look on that cross and say, man, that's where the work is done. And I put my faith and trust in that, not in my works, recognizing that I've got a problem. I'm going to die a spiritual death if I don't do something. But I'm going to put my faith and trust in that. I receive the gift. I receive this gift of eternal life. And if I'm doing that, I'm no longer condemned. Jesus didn't come to condemn the world. He came so that he could save us. If you've never wrestled with that before, man, I hope that you would do that today. That this is really the core, one of the two reasons that Jesus came, is to implement the plan of salvation. Think about what that means for you. Think about how you would describe that to people who aren't here. See how Jesus is trying to share it with Nicodemus. How would you share this with somebody outside of your faith as well? He continues with this idea of receiving eternal life in condemnation in verse 18. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So a big truth behind what Jesus is sharing is that rejection of the Son is not going to be okay. You can't make it to heaven with eternal life if you're going to reject who Jesus is. Jesus says, if you don't believe in me, you are already standing in condemnation. That makes a lot of us uncomfortable in our plurality-striving society. Saying that there's an exclusive way to have a relationship with God is really uncomfortable. Nonetheless, it's the truth. And you, as you're communicating with people, you need to be led by the Spirit. Does this person need to hear and understand? There is something that if you don't take care of, there's going to be consequences. If you don't figure out who Jesus is, there will be consequences for that. Jesus is sharing that with Nicodemus. Take a breath. So we've got all this idea of describing salvation. Jesus has shared it in these powerful, often repeated verses. He's going to give us one more object lesson. He's going to give Nicodemus and one more object lesson to try and help him see what the issue is. If this is such a cool thing, well, then why doesn't everybody do that? Jesus shares that in verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. So Jesus is starting to paint a picture that he gets why people resist accepting who Jesus is, because as we get close to God, our life starts to get lit up. I want you to think about light and dark for a minute. In Dan's picture of the universe, there's really no such thing as darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. If I remove all the light, now I have darkness. Darkness is very cool if you're trying to hide. Evil likes darkness. So evil, as we have darkness in our lives, as we live dark lives, we're giving evil places to hide. As we step into the light, for most of us, it's pretty uncomfortable. Because as we step into the light, we start to see everything that's in the room. Think about being in a really, really, when you're in a really, really dark room, it only takes a little bit of light. You only need a little bit of light to be able to start to see the things in the room. And that little bit of light sometimes can really, it can be equipping. Oh, wow, this is good. I can see the furniture. I can see the stuff on the wall. It can be depressing. Oh, my God, I can see this messy spot here. I can see that thing where it fell over and broke years ago, and I never did anything about it. I can see all the mistakes I've made. I can see how my anger's been messing up my relationships. As I step into the light, I can see how I've been hurting myself, hanging out with alcohol or pornography. I can see how I've been hurting the people around me by doing some things that just rejected God and let them know that there can't be anything like God. And what it is that I've done to influence other people that way. Those things are in my room. And when I start to turn on the light, I start to see them. It's a pretty uncomfortable thing. It's just uncomfortable. It's not okay. It's yucky. But our opportunity is we can turn on the light. And when we see those yucky things more clearly, now I can do something about it. Jesus isn't just a light in the room for us to see. He also wants to partner with us to help us work through those things to be able to fix the messes that are in the room. When we first do that, hopefully we see big things in the room. Oh, yeah, I need to take care of my anger. I need to take care of the alcohol. I got stuff I need to do so that I can live a better life for me and for God and for the people around me. But as you spend time with God, remember I said all it takes is a little bit of light and we can see what's going on. As you spend more time with God, it's cranking up the light in the room and you can see things more clearly. And it's like, oh, okay, I cleaned up the room, but there's a stain on that table that I haven't been able to get out. Wow, I'm doing an okay job as a husband, but I've got some areas to grow. I can see it now because God's a little brighter in my life, so I can fix the stain that's in my life. I can see a little clearer now. There's this little dent that's in this wall when I bumped into it that's really my bad work ethic. And I've been stealing from my job because I don't go in on time and I leave early. Rats. I'm going to have to do something about that dent in the wall. You see how that works? As the light gets brighter, we see more stuff. None of us have a clean room yet. The lights are getting brighter. The idea is the light should be getting brighter so that I can see more stuff, so that I can keep learning and growing and becoming the person God always meant for me to be. When we first get in, we're just getting a little dim light. But if you've been a Christian for a while, ask God to turn the light up. Because there's more things I'm sure He would love to help you find out so that you can grow and be the people that He always wanted you to be. Jesus concludes this sharing with Nicodemus, saying, "Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God." That when we get the light in the room and we can see it and people start to see the changes in us and we're transparent about what's been in our room and what it is that we're working on, it glorifies God. So I want you to catch that. We don't need to be perfect to glorify God. If we admit, hey, I've still got junk in my room, and I'm working on it, but God's helping me, that glorifies God. So what we really want to do is ask God to help us turn the light up so that we can fix the things that need to be fixed. And it's not about being perfect. It's about turning the light up and working to become the people God always meant for us to be. Don't be hesitant or afraid to turn that light up. Turning up our light glorifies God. Nicodemus showed up to Jesus. He was a seeker. He wanted to know something about who Jesus was. And Jesus took the opportunity to share with him, I am here not just as the Messiah. I'm actually the Son of God, and we're going to be implementing the plan of salvation. Here's a picture of Nicodemus. Nicodemus is like, he didn't get it, but he's heard the words, and he will remember it. Think about the Nicodemuses you might have in your life. Who are the people who need to hear something about who Jesus is? Who are the people who need to hear about what salvation is and how it works? They might be like Nicodemus, but we still have an opportunity that doesn't come across in the podcast. Sorry, ADD moment. Who are the Nicodemuses in your life? How is it that you would be able to share with them? What are the words that you use? What do they see in your life so that we can find ways to be able to share our faith with the folks who, like Nicodemus, just don't get it? Perhaps you feel like Nicodemus today. And as I've been sharing these things out of Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus, you get some of it, but a lot of it is like, Dan, you talked about being careful about language. I didn't understand half of what you just said. But maybe in the conversation, you have felt God pulling on your heart. Maybe God's got something he wants to share with you in the context of who he is and what salvation really means to you. If you've never done that before today, if you've never accepted who Jesus is, man, let's make today the day. I would love to talk to you after church today. I've got a meeting afterwards, so it would be a short conversation, but we'll set up a time to be able to chat. If you don't think you can do that today, or you just want to, you can email me at info@nvcmd.org, and I will get back to you, and we will talk about what salvation is and what it should transform for me. Think about who the Nicodemuses are in your life, and take a moment to see how you might be like Nicodemus too. And Jesus wants to talk to you about what salvation means to you, even if you're already saved. There are things he still wants to light up in our rooms. I would like to invite the band up. While they are coming up, if you all would, please bow your heads and pray with me. Dear Father in heaven, and we are so blessed to have your word, to be able to reflect on huge, meaningful conversations like the one Jesus had with Nicodemus, where there was the right moment, the right guy, and he's able to finally say, dudes, this is why I came. I came because you need salvation. What it is you've been doing and living has been separating you from God, but I'm here to rescue you from that. Lord, help us to be able to wrestle with the terms that we heard today about being born again, the Holy Spirit, being like wind. There's a spiritual thing. There are heavenly things. It's not just all about what it is we touch and feel on earth. There is a spiritual component to our reality, and we are actually members of heaven when we decide to trust and follow you. Help us embrace that. Help us to be able to grow in that. Give us the words, give us the opportunities to be able to share that with the Nicodemuses we know. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.